Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interaction media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on liveparanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for joining me on this Thursday evening like we do so many times. Truly appreciate it. Got the internet going, kind of cutting in and out a little bit. We're just using so much power. And I don't know. It's doing pretty good so far, so I'm sure we're going to get through it. I'm feeling pretty confident. Don't know if it's a terrorist attack on us. Who knows? It's hard to keep up. So many things happening in the world today. But all I want to say is there's a lot of craziness going on out there, and I want to start off by sending some good vibes out there in this world, because that's not what we're seeing, obviously. So let's just spread some love and some joy out there and help each other out. Anyway, been having a great week. I got some big news coming up. We've been talking about the success of the new TV show, My Darkest Hours, Into the Further, streaming live on Paraflix right now. And of course, we are on Roku TV, and bigger, better things are on the horizon. I am filming for another TV show for a major network, which sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait till we do the shoot, and it'll allow us to talk a little bit about it. It's going to be good times. But I'll keep you guys the news when it does happen and get you guys going on it. I hope you guys have been checking out the new YouTube channel. Like I said, it's not really new. I'm just actually doing something with it, with all that extra footage I have from the investigations and behind the scenes of all the filming that we do for the show. So with that being said, let's move on. Tonight on the show, I have psychic medium Brittany Adams. She is from the Orchard of Mysticism and Music. Now, I really like that name. That's really cool. It just makes me want to be a part of that. because I like that. I like mysticism, and I like music. So it's a win-win for me. She's also a tarot card reader and a occultist. There's many types of occultists. We will find out what kind of stuff that she specializes in, find out what cards she does, she reads. I have a variety. Most of us have been reading the writer deck since the beginning of time. I know I've had mine since I was about 5, and it's a tiny little itty-bitty quarter scale size. It's pretty cool. And then I went through a few decks until I got to my Thoth deck, which I love because it has the 12 Vesta Trumps in it. So it's really cool, and it breaks down stuff nice and detailed. So it's very, very cool. So let's go ahead and bring her on the show. I see her in the green room, and we're going to bring her in. Those of you in the event page, if you do lose signal on the internet, there was also that phone number I put on the event page. You can call in and listen to the show and all that stuff. You can also go to liveparanormal.com right now to the website. There's also the chat room and all that stuff happening. I know we have mediators in there. And I'll give you a chance to ask questions. So let's go ahead and bring Brittany in.
Hi. How are you?
Can you hear me good?
I'm fantastic and fabulous. I have no complaints.
That is awesome. What a good thing to say.
I feel that, like, if we focus on the bad too much, we will project bad, and we should project good in the world. And I think that everything happens for a reason, so I just kind of take the bad stuff, and I'm like, I'll figure out why that's happening. There's a lesson to be learned. And you just go on with your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's sad to say, all they do is throw bad things at us in the news and all this garbage. We're just like, we've had so much of it lately. You look outside and you just, even though the sky's blue, you're still seeing gray skies. It's like, man, enough. I need to get out of the clouds. I need to enjoy the sunshine and enjoy my life because this is it. This is what I got going on.
Well, like, look at COVID. Like, it was so funny. Everyone was scared during COVID. And I was, like, scared at first because of the media, but I took a breath, and I stepped back and meditated, and I focused on everything. And I was like, this is a time of great awakening. There are so many people that are trapped having to focus on themselves and do shadow work that so much is going to come from this. And it has. There's been people that have quit their, like, jobs and started their own companies. I mean, families have gotten closer. People have, like, broken up but then found the loves of their lives. Like, it's been so much change lately. And people are scared of it, but I think it's a glorious thing. I mean, it's every once in a while you just have to say, fuck it, and just change. And I think a lot of beautiful change is coming right now.
Absolutely. I think so, because there's that equal balance of everything. We've had a lot of crap lately, so there's got to be some good stuff on the horizon for everybody, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Like I always say, the best flowers grow from shit.
That's true. That's very true. So everyone sit back and watch the flowers grow, because that's what you got coming on. Very cool.
Yep, exactly. Yep, and I do the orchard. I feed off of nature. I feed off of life. It gives me energy. That's where I get my gift from, is energy all around. I feed off of the plants and the trees and it's just, nature is a glorious thing, and there's so much life around us that needs to be appreciated. So, yep, it's gorgeous. I unfortunately am no longer in the orchard though. I packed up my bags. I still have the orchard. It's still in the family. It's still sitting there. But I packed up my bags and moved to Washington and traded in the orchard for a forest.
So now you have the forest of mysticism and music?
Yeah, pretty much. I still call it the orchard because it's there. But, like, now it's like a forest. But I still have the orchard. I can still make a mad pecan pie when I go back home to the farm. So,
that farm's right here, right? You moved a few years ago from out here, right?
Yeah, it was from Ventura to Northern California, and then now I'm in Washington. So, yeah, it's been a journey. So, LA, Ventura area, and then Northern California, and then, yeah. But it's Washington's beautiful. There's a lot of great people here, and I'm really worried about the state of California. I don't want to get too political, but, like, my heart and soul, too, is just like, California, what the fuck are you doing to yourself?
It's a wreck. We've had people in power that just haven't been paying attention. And just, you know, they're, obviously this time around, they were more concerned with their profile and the way they looked versus taking care of the needs of California. Because every governor has said it. It's going to take more than one term to really do anything with it. But I think some of these people are just coming in here to get that gig to add to their resume and move on. So they want to get bigger in politics. And they just don't care enough about the state of California itself, which is sad.
Yep, it's really sad. But in good news, before I came on the show, I pulled a card and meditated a little bit, did a little bit of magic, and I got the Ten of Pentacles, which means success, wealth, and abundance forward from here. So I think that that's a good sign for everything right now. Yeah, I pulled a card for the podcast, and that's what I got, and I feel really good about it, so...
Awesome. So we're going to have a successful podcast then.
Yep, exactly. We're going to vibe, man. It's going to be a whole vibe.
Yeah, I can already feel it.
Yeah,
this feels pretty natural talking to you. This is really cool.
Yeah, I try. I like to people make people feel comfortable. Like when I do readings, I was a counselor last year for a bit, got my dream job, and then I realized that when you're an empathic medium, it's really hard to be a counselor with the boundaries of the healthcare system.
Yeah.
I just try to make like people feel really comfortable and chill and like just happy. And when I do tarot card readings, I tell people like, I'm going to be real with you and I'm going to tell you like probably what you don't want to hear sometimes. Because I'm not reader that will like if someone comes at me and they're like, oh, you know, I love this guy and I don't know if I should be with him and I get the vibe that he's like cheating on her and she needs to break it off, I'm not gonna sit there and be like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe it's you. I'll be like, you need to dump this asshole. Like I'm real. But I think that and I love and I want everyone to be real. I want everyone to be authentic. I want communication. And so in doing that, I try to be as chill as I can in everything that I do to open the communication and let people know I'm not going to judge you. This is a no-judgment zone. What I see, it's like I've seen so much that it's not my place to judge. I've experienced so much that people would not even believe. I've experienced things that people think I'm fucking crazy when I tell them. So it's like not my place to judge. So I just want everyone to be open, honest, and chill and just experience life and be able to talk. And I want that environment for anyone I come across. So that's why I just kind of chill, do my thing.
That's awesome. But, and I think in a lot of ways, people who want to go to a psychic medium for a reading or to get some insight on something like that, I think a couple of things. I think they're hoping it's going to be great, but I think they'll honestly appreciate the truth that you give them, because that's what they're going to find out. They're like, well, what if, you know, I don't know. So that kind of helps them. If you're picking up a bad vibe, you got to let them know, because if you don't and they go with it and then think it's all good, they're going to be mad at you because you gave them a false reading. So.
Exactly. And it's interesting too, because sometimes people think that I'm just going to get answers, but what they don't understand is I'm the medium too. So I'm going to see their loved ones on the other side. And if grandma's telling you, dump this fool, I'm going to be like, your grandma looks like this and she's telling you to dump this fool, so you better listen to grandma. So I get sometimes my readings feel a little bit more intense. So that's another reason why I try to be laid back, because it's horrible to say, but I know it's a good reading when someone leaves crying, because I know that they opened up themselves, that they let their guard down, that they let the information in. And I think that's a good reading. I know it's like horrible to say, like, I want to make you cry, but the tears that I want to see are therapeutic tears of healing. And that's what I want to do when I do a tarot card reading for someone. I don't only want them to just be like, oh, I'm going to a psychic. It's like, oh, I felt like I went to a therapist for an hour as well as a psychic, you know? It's like, I want it to be a whole experience when I do a reading. So, and then where the music comes in, which is interesting, is I did a lot of meditate. I went through a really hard time last year, and I did a lot of meditative work, and I really got into collecting vinyl records and all this
cool.
stuff. And all of a sudden, I would just start playing a song a day, like find a record or play a song. And I started realizing that the songs, when I would meditate, would, like, match the day. And so then I was like, I'm going to start using music with my tarot card readings and see how they match up. And they were matching up. And so I've found that I do better readings and I'm a better psychic when I'm using music and incorporating music. And what's really interesting with that is I have one medium that I go to. She's amazing. You guys should follow her on Facebook. She's called the Tattooed Medium. She's out of the East Coast. She's one of the few psychics I've ever met that can actually read me and do it right. And she was like, I see music and you need to go with the music. And I took her advice. And I think music is something universal that everybody loves and everyone can appreciate. So.
Absolutely. And it gives you that certain vibe, you know, all those tonal sounds out there. If you're looking for a certain vibration and you do a certain type of like reading, or if you're going to be doing some craft work, I think that's
mm-hmm.
important. I think that's important to kind of mix that whole vibe into that formula that you got going. And it gives you that extra level of whatever the radar is or whatever you're doing, that strength out there. So I think that it's really important. I'm glad to see you're incorporating that.
Absolutely. I mean, on my TikTok and on my Instagram, The Queen Bee Show, I do a song a day, every day, because I started posting them. I was like, well, if I'm doing it for myself, I'm going to start posting them and having fun with it. So I really have gotten into TikTok and stuff like that. And I've started posting a song a day with what I interpret, like what my spirit guides have told me that song means to me for that day and what I should tell people. And I just do it and I help people. I mean, I just got a comment right before I started the show that said, wow, I feel like all of these are speaking to me. And I'm like, that's what I want. I want to help people heal. Like these messages from my spirit guides are, yeah, coming to me, but I think that we need to share the messages with everybody so we can learn from one another. You know, I feel like bad things happen to good people or things happen to people so that other people can be inspired and learn. And that goes with what my spirit guides are telling me for the day as well.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, and people need to check that out. And they can follow you on. I put the links to your Facebook page on the event page, so people might be able to ask you questions or email you. Is that going to be okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll find my Instagram. I'm more active on Instagram and TikTok, too. But, yeah, I'm only talking away. Do you have questions for me? I just go babble. I just start babbling.
I do have questions, but you're doing good. You're doing good. And that's what we want. We want you to be comfortable and talk to us. So that's awesome. So
I did before we do. Wait, before we do anything, I'm sorry. I forgot to do one thing. Let's see if it'll do it. I forgot to pick a song. Let's see. Interesting. Brass in Pocket by The Pretenders.
Wow, that's cool. I love The Pretenders.
That's the song. Let's see what that... It sounds like... You know that song, Brass in My Pocket? Yeah, you know that song.
Yeah, I'm a huge Pretender guy. I love their first albums, one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, and this is actually my favorite song of them. Okay, Brittany, don't be nervous. Just go with it. Like, it's funny. When I'm doing a reading one-on-one, when I'm doing a reading one-on-one, it's like, oh, Ben, I'm like, there's listeners. So I get a little stage fright. I feel like there's, like, you're holding back something. And I see, like, a woman with you that has like blonde hair and she's like curvy and she's just like with you a lot, and whatever you're holding back with, like thing romantically you're holding back with someone, and you need to stop holding back.
Really?
Yes. Because you have that. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because I don't know any blondes. I don't hang out with any blondes.
It's a spirit guide.
Okay, there's definitely a blonde woman with me all the time. Yes.
Yeah. Do you know who that is? Because she's with you all the time.
I definitely know.
Yeah, that. I was describing your spirit guide. I wasn't describing the woman you're supposed to be talking to. No. I was describing your spirit guide.
That's kind of a spirit guide, but it's not really my spirit guide, but definitely making sure that I stick to the plan. Yeah, I definitely get it. Yeah.
It's weird when you know that there's other people listening, because I know, like, there's other stuff you'd say, like, if, you know, but yeah, so that's kind of my thing, yeah, that person's with you, she's your spirit guide, or she's with you, or she's watching over you, whatever. I just call everyone their spirit guide, because I think that if someone's with you constantly, they're a guide in your life.
And they're telling you something, or keeping an eye on you? Yeah, absolutely. I do have a guardian angel, which is kind of like an assigned person, or not even a person. Mm-hmm. It's more of a being. I've had a lot of psychics because I do a lot of paranormal television and I do all this stuff and I work with a lot of people.
Man.
And they see this person with me and everyone's like, so who's the Asian woman with you? And I'm like, don't say that. You know, it's like, it's not a woman or a man. This is my assigned.
It's a being.
Yes, that has been with me since the beginning of time. I've seen this being with me. I've grown up with this person my entire life. We're really close.
Well, I see the blonde woman with you, but I also see like a light with you. I don't what you're describing as your guardian or whatever. I don't see it as a person. I see it as like something I can't describe. That's from a different world, and that's what's interesting. Is the more there's a level that you reach if you okay. So I'm a natural witch. I've had gifts since I was a little girl. The first time I used to point to a picture of the Mormon version of Jesus and tell my dad he's with me every night. He comes into my room. Well, I know that wasn't Jesus. I know that was my Uncle Jimmy. Like the older that I get, you know, like. He had passed over before I was born, and he literally looks just like the freaking Mormon, the Mormon like Jesus. So like as I got older, I realized, oh, that's my Uncle Jim, because he is one of my spirit guides. Very very prevalent in my life, and so I've natural witch. But as I've meditated, as I've grown, as I've had experiences in life with each tragedy, it seems like with each tragedy, I've learned something and it's opened me up more. It's weird that in the last year, and this is why I think it's interesting with everything that's been going on in the world, and people are saying like there's change, and a lot of spiritual people are saying like we've gone through a vortex, or you know, all this stuff's happening astrologically. But I've reached a level with my third eye where I can see things that I can't really describe because they're not of this realm. They're like, but exactly how you said, don't describe it as an Asian person or whatever. Like I just thought it's something I can't describe. There was a mentally ill person a couple of days ago that actually tried to assault me, which was interesting, but I saw a being with her and it was really interesting. I couldn't really describe the being, but she was talking to everyone freaking out. And then she came up to me and she looks at me and she's like, can you get rid of her? I can't get rid of her. Do you see her? And I was like, yeah, I see her. Did you take your meds? And I'm like talking to her like she's normal. And people are looking at me like, what the fuck? But it's like, because I saw whatever was with this woman making her mentally ill. It was insane. And it's been like that. I've been able to see things, that are like, it's weird. And it's only been like that the last year. And I've heard other people saying that they can see things of, and there's been a lot more of interdimension talk going on. And then we're almost paranormal. So... makes me wonder if there's like another dimension that's starting to cross over.
Well, there's a big spiral and it's within these thin walls. And right now it's vibrating pretty intensely. So a lot of those hallways, those thin veils, like almost like sheets are blending into each other. So you're getting these waves passing through. So there's a lot of, multiple energy coming through, whether it's a certain dimension coming through or a certain level of energy causing a vibration that affects the entire universe, so to speak. It's all happening at the same time right now for some reason. So there's big things on the horizon.
Oh, there is. There definitely isn't. Any guru or spiritualist you talk to and any, like, beliefs, Buddhism, Wiccan, you know, Satanism, whatever. Well, Satanists, I don't really like that, but you know what I mean. They're all saying the same thing. Thing is coming.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the war or whatever the crazy stuff is happening out there with our governments. That's all happening, whatever. But there's bigger things than all of that on the horizon for everyone, which is just going to wake everybody up. What? Okay, cool.
Well, yeah, because even the government declassified the documents about astral projection and all that, and, you know, all the studies they did, which I highly recommend Men Who Stare at Goats to everybody. They want to know more about that. And they declassified that. So the government's been doing spiritual stuff, so there's something going on. And then another thing, this kind of goes into the spiritual realm for me. This isn't something I believe personally, but I know a lot of people who are Wiccan or spiritualists who are really into alien culture, like the aliens and, like, the connection to psychic abilities and aliens and interdimension. But the government just flat out told us, hey, aliens exist. And we're just like, okay.
Yeah, we already knew that.
No one's making a big deal out of it. Everyone's just like, all right, cool.
Well,
which makes me think.
Well, they call that conditioning. Since they first started dealing with aliens, they started this conditioning program where they started adding into cartoons and then media, the movies, just building up that hype.
Yep,
and then saying, no, that's fantasy. Come on now. You know, just building it up. But then letting a little bit of information slip now and then. And so it's slowly been conditioning to us. Now they're like, oh, yeah, it's all real. And we're just, like, so used to it. We're like, yeah, okay. Now what?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, hey, I do have a couple of questions for you coming here. So one of the big questions is we talked with every guest that we've had about their beginning experiences regarding the paranormal. Now, since you're a psychic medium, yours might be a little bit different than the average person. So if you can kind of go back and give us that beginning scenario of how you got involved in all this.
Two things come to mind. One was my mom and dad got a divorce, and we moved into a house in downtown Ventura on the corner of Ann and Main. And it used to be a doctor's office in the during the Depression era. And my mom always said that things started going missing or started moving as soon as we moved in. And I remember being 5 years old, going to bed, laying down, looking up at the doorway, and there was a little boy there, perfectly clear as day, blonde hair with, like, old-fashioned, like, 30s or 40s, like, pinstripe, red and white, like, PJs. And he looked at me, dead stared, and he said, the babysitter is going to kill you.
Oh, how cool is that?
But what was interesting is as a five-year-old, you think that you'd be fucking terrified screaming. I might have been six, but anyways, terrified screaming. But I literally just stared at him like, okay, you're there. Like, what the fuck do you want? And I remember having this attitude at that age. I was a brat. I still am a brat. And like looking at him and just kind of looking at him, and then I just closed my eyes tight. And then I opened them and he was gone. And I will never forget that, like, clear as day. And then all my experiences really, it almost feels like the house that I lived in because I lived in that house from 5 years old to 32. I was in that house a long time. And there was so many ghost experiences that I had in that house at such a young age that I feel like that house almost trained my third eye. Like, kept... Because it was like every time I'd start, like, neglecting my abilities, it was like something in the house would happen. And, I mean, I have friends, like, I have one friend who I call my wife, and she spent the night there once. And I remember sleeping on the couch, and she was sleeping on the other couch because she knew my house was haunted. She didn't want to sleep alone. And there was a man, and he walked through the doorway. And I saw him, and I was like, please, please tell me Danny didn't see that. Please tell me Danny didn't see that. Feel this hand on my leg, and she goes, I'm not sleeping at night, and I'm never sleeping at your house ever again. What the fuck was that? And I was like, shit. But what I try to tell people is, like, don't be scared of them. They, like, yes, there's possibilities where they can hurt you and they have hurt you, but if you don't give them the power and the energy to, like, be scared of them, they can't feed off of you because they feed off of energy. And anger and fear is such a strong emotion that if you just dead-eye look at them and be like, what's up, ghost? I'm a Ghostbuster, bitch. They kind of just let you go, just let you be. And it takes a lot of training because I used to be terrified of them. There were times when I was younger that I wouldn't do anything, go anywhere that was haunted because I could see things and I didn't want to deal with it. But if you really just train yourself not to be scared, it's almost like it gives you the power over them. Because people don't realize that they're just feeding off of your energy, their energy at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's why they're trying to make contact with you, because they go, you're the one, let's share this moment so I can get stronger. But
like you said,
people let that fear of the unknown get to them, so they're not conscious about that. They just fall into it, and it's like, no, what do you tell me? What do you want? I got things to do. What's your message? Let's go. You know, take that away from them. Then they can't fear it. Then they're not frightening you. And then they're going to tell you something. They're going to say, okay, well, this is it. Blah, 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 blah. Get business done. But they try to intimidate people so they can feed off them like that. And they'll try to engage people in longer conversations. And people are giving up their energy without even realizing it, like an energy vampire.
Exactly. And I what people don't realize is I have this theory that everyone is an energy vampire at some point in their life. We all have the ability to feed off energy. And people are like, I'm not an energy vampire. And I'm like, think about it. When you're sad and you're at your lowest and you're sitting there and you're like, I just need a hug. Why do you need that hug? You need that energy. You need that happiness to feed off of. In that moment, you are an energy vampire.
It makes sense because we're like batteries. We're giving all that energy, so we've got to replenish that energy from somewhere. So we just keep filling that cycle back and forth. I mean, we just have to be conscious of what we're giving out.
Exactly. And what we're taking, you don't want to take people's energy too much. Because if you're purposely doing it, that just makes you a fucking dick. But there are people out there that purposely drain of their energy for, you know, pleasure. But I also think that's why a lot of people during COVID who were left with themselves and didn't have anyone to, like, get that hug from, that energy from, I think that's why they had to face so much shadow work, because they had nowhere to look but within themselves and their own energy.
That's true. That's very true. So as you got older doing psychics work and stuff, how did you fall into that? Did you start trying that, practicing on people first, then you got into it?
I'm going to honestly, like, give you the most basic white witch bitch answer out there. Okay, you ready for this?
I am so ready.
I literally watched The Craft. I rented it one weekend and watched it over and over again. I was probably like 13 or 14 or something. And watched it over and over again. And then I was like, I need a book. So I went to the bookstore. And the only back there then in the day, the only person that really, like, wrote any books was, oh, God, what is her name? I think it's Silver Ravenclaw. She wrote this book called Teen Witch, which was very popular in the 90s. So me and my friend Watt bought this book, Teen Witch, bought a deck of tarot cards, started from there. Next thing you know, I was getting calls on the weekend from the popular girls in high school reading their tarot cards about the relationships they were having. So that's how – so I also used it as a defense mechanism not to get made fun of in high school. So – and to be one of the cool kids. Because I was really heavy in high school. I weighed like 400 pounds by the end of high school. So I used tarot readings as a way to get in with the cool crowd. So –
oh, that's cool.
Yep, I mean, and this one there. Yeah, from there, I just developed my abilities, and I found that with each major tragedy in my life, my abilities got stronger. I had a couple near-death experiences. One of them was actually, it's 2 years ago this week that I almost died. And after that, I went through that, which was like one of the hardest moments of my life. I did all the shadow work and it was like done. And I was ready to be professional and I got stronger. I think that the greatest growth in our abilities comes from tragedy.
Yeah, well, and it makes you stronger. And
mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that hasn't happened, but we're going back to what we were talking about in the beginning. Something good comes out of something really bad that happens. Hopefully it can balance
mm-hmm.
that out.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
What kind of cards do you read? Yeah. Like, what's the deck of your choice currently?
that's a funny question that you asked that. Okay, so I have a little problem. It's called tarot card deck obsession. I collect them. I love tarot cards. I love the fact that they're so popular now and they have different artists and like independent artists are coming out with tarot cards. So I go through phases where there's certain cards, but when it comes down to it at the end of the day, you just got to go with the old school Rider tarot deck. Like, it just, there's something comforting about it. Because everyone knows those cards, everyone knows the familiarity, but for personally right now, the one that I went to, Pike's Place in Seattle and there's a comic book shop and I walk in there and they have Supernatural tarot cards, like the show Supernatural.
Really?
And I'm a total freaking nerd for that show, like to the point where, yes, I've gone to a Supernatural convention and paid money to meet Sam Winchester. I'm a dork. So I found Supernatural tarot cards, and I'm freaking in love with them. Like, the designs, the artwork, like, they have all the, like, different random, like, cast members on the cards. Instead of wands, they have knives. I'm kind of being a nerd with that deck right now. Yeah, it's impressive
Sam on the cards itself.
Yeah, like dude, and then Bones. The Bones are the wands. Like the King of Blades is what is his name? The Mark of Cain. Like the King of Blades is Cain. Strength is that vampire you made friends with. The Hermit is Bobby. And then, like, let's see, where are they? They're on here, I think. Oh, and then, like, the Sun is Charlie. Judgment
cool.
is what's... Yeah, oh, here we are. They're number one, the Fools, is a picture of Sam and Dean. They're the Fools. Yeah, and, like, Gabriel's
on
one of them. Yeah, no, it's a fun little deck. It really is. Whoever did this put a lot of time into making it, and they did an amazing job. They really did. So it's a cool little deck. I've been having a lot of fun with it, especially, you know, different cards with the guys on it. Like the King of Pentagrams is Crowley. Speaking of the cult, Crowley is what I know most about. Just FYI. But, yeah, it's a cool little deck.
I use the Thoth deck myself. So.
You use the what deck?
Thoth.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've never used that one.
It's a Crowley deck.
Yeah, no, I know what it is. You know, I've never, I do not, this surprises people for as much as I know about Crowley. I do not own that deck, and I've never used that deck. I don't know why. I do have the this deck has such weird energy to me. I have the Hermetic Tarot deck.
Okay.
I don't use it often just because it has really freaking weird energy to it. Like like the energy in the this like deck burns sometimes. It's really weird. Yeah. But yeah, I know. Yeah. That's a good deck though, I hear. I just never have used it.
Yeah, it's got 12 extra trumps in it, so you can go into more detail on some stuff. It's kind of cool.
Oh, something just flipped over. It just flipped over. The Knight of Cups. That's a good card.
Nice,
and the Queen
yeah.
of Swords. Those two just like literally flipped over in the Hermetic deck. Wow,
nice.
We're getting good cards.
Yeah,
nice.
Some energy going on there.
Yeah, definitely.
Everybody out there listening, you are listening to My Darkest Hour. Our guest tonight is psychic medium Brittany Adams from the forest of mysticism and music. We're having a conversation about some of her experiences in the paranormal and talking about the type of decks that she likes to use. Everybody we talk about with different cards always have a certain deck they always go to. It's funny that you mentioned the Rider deck. Everybody always mentions the Rider deck. Before we started the show, I mentioned the Rider deck because that was my first deck I got when I was 5 years old. I got the Rider deck, the little tiny deck for little kids. And I have
I got,
it right over here.
That was
right
my,
over here
my first
my
deck.
Deck. It's pretty funny. Which one?
That was my first deck, too. It was actually found my aunt was in storage and she was going through her like box of stuff from when she was a teenager. And
yeah.
She goes, hey, look. And then she pulled out a box of tarot cards that were the Rider tarot cards, but they were like from the 70s. And I was like, oh my God, she's like here. And so those were the first tarot cards I ever used were hers that she passed on to me from the 70s.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. So.
So let's talk about your readings. So how does people get a hold of you to sign up for your readings?
Okay, so they can contact me on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. I usually actually am on Instagram and TikTok the most. My TikTok, I have two. I mean, not TikTok. My Instagram, I have two. The easiest one to find would probably be called The Occult Made Me Do It, and it's basically just an occult meme page. And then they can also find me at the_queen_bshow on Instagram. And then I'm also B, a.k.a. Brittany, on TikTok. And they can find me there, too. And they can talk book readings. I'm really good at prices, you know, like try to be really good at prices. Because I want to make – I'm doing this to make money, too. But also I want to help people. So it's like, you know – I like a barter system sometimes. Like, if you're an artist, like, draw me something. I'll give you a reading, that kind of stuff. Because I want to help people. I feel like I have a gift to help people. So, you know, I do the best I can.
That's cool. And that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, somebody's got a talent. You want to utilize some of that talent. You guys can make a trade. You can do a reading for them, and they'll send you something. That's always cool.
Yeah,
make you a cool shirt design or some kind of logo for your stickers. I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I also like to tell people when I do readings, I incorporate music into it. So not only are you going to get like, oh, this is your tarot card or this is what the tarot cards say, I'm going to be pulling music from my library as I'm reading you. So you're going to be getting a shuffle of music too. And you can get, and I have over like 3,000 plus songs right now and it's ever growing. And I have everything from country, rap, hip-hop, slam poetry, rock, classic rock. So you never know what you're going to get. And I use them
cool.
just like I – and I use my shuffle, just like my shuffle button, just like I would my tarot cards.
Yeah, to see what comes up next. That's awesome. It's probably cool that if you're doing a reading and you got something going on, all of a sudden music changes to that vibe. All of a sudden, if you get more intense or whatever, then you move on. And then something good happens in the future and it gets all nice music.
Yep.
You're like, wow, it's the soundtrack.
It really vibes sometimes. One time I was doing a reading and the person after the reading was like, that was really cool. It was almost like I have a soundtrack for my reading. And so I actually made a playlist for them on Spotify of the songs that came up during the reading and then I sent it to them. So, yep.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Because music is the best thing ever. Music will outlast us all.
Absolutely. And there's a certain type of music for everything that anybody feels. So I'm sure it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What about what's ahead for you? What are your goals? What are you planning on doing?
I want to just really build up tarot. I would like to be able to do this full time, and really help people do this full time, because my dream job was actually being a counselor, and I got that dream job last year, and I realized that it's hard to counsel people and help people when you have so many barriers of the system. Whereas I can do tarot and help people that way. And I would love to do that full time for a living. I would love to own a shop, a witchy shop one day. It would be so nice to own like a shop. Those are my dreams. I'm slowly manifesting. I do a lot of manifesting work and meditation, and everyone should meditate. And those are my goals. I'd love to own a shop one day. I'd love to do a podcast again. I would really just love to do this full time. So I'm slowly starting back up. I was starting last year, and then I got a moment of not believing in myself. And then I had another spiritual awakening. I think I've had enough spiritual awakenings in 1 year. I think we all have.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Everyone stayed home, and you really got a chance to really focus on themselves to see what they really want out of life, what's really going on, you know, and that's, I think it's important. Like they kept calling it the Great Reset, and maybe in a lot of ways it was. Back on perspective,
really,
and now that life's moving again, we're pushing a little bit harder to get back to it, so it's awesome. And I do see you having a shop. That's why I was asking you what's ahead for you, because I got the image of you in a, maybe two or three other people that you're really close with going in and putting something together. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I've been talking about that a lot. I talked about that a lot last year. It came up, but unfortunately lost touch with the person. And then it just never left my head. And I'm like, it's going to happen. So,
yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate you saying that and giving me that little nudge. Appreciate that.
I'm just telling it like it is. It came to my mind, so I had to throw it out there. I'm like, oh, okay. I just got something, so I see that happening. So good for you.
I appreciate that, because a lot of people actually get those little nudges in their minds. More people are more spiritually awakened than they believe, and they get those little nudges in their minds, and then they think to themselves, oh, I'm just crazy. You know, I'm just crazy. But if you throw that out, you might just be right. So.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where even if I have a dream about somebody randomly, you know, my dreams, I need to make contact with that person to find out what's going on, you know, and nine out of 10 times something's going on.
Yep.
So that's my thing.
Or
you get that
nudge of like, I need to text this person. Like you're thinking of someone out of the blue and you're like, okay, I need to text this person. I don't know why, but I need to text this person. That's happened to me a lot.
Yeah, and then you find out something's going on. You're like, whoa. Yeah.
Yep.
It's an amazing world that we live in. What about paracons and stuff? You going out and doing any paranormal paracons this year? Are you going to plan on doing any?
You know, I've never done one.
I've been doing them for a very long time, and I really think you should check it out and maybe do them for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get a vendor's table and you can charge for new readings there, and you can network with other people and learn about other stuff, and you just kind of fall into this whole networking family thing of the paranormal, and it's really cool. And paracons are something I specialize in, doing a lot of them all over the place, and I enjoy it. I love hanging out with everyone at the tables and just talking shop. It's so great.
Yeah, I love that too. I would love to do that, because I was a con girl, but I was a Comic-Con girl. I went to Comic-Con for like 10 years straight. Yeah, that's cool too. So that was my con life, but I miss con life. I really do. But I would love to do Paracon, because I just miss con life in general, and I really want to network more within this community, because I have the confidence. Sometimes you have the gift, but sometimes you have to get the confidence. And sometimes you don't find that confidence in your gift until much later in life. So I'm there, and I want to do Paracon.
Yeah, check it out. It's always good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I recommend it. Like I said, you know, we love talking shop, and then you're investigating other locations with different people, and you get to see how they investigate or their techniques or what type of psychics you're around that do different things. On my paranormal team, I've had a few different psychics that I work with a lot on the team, and each one's different. Everyone's got these different abilities about them, which I think is interesting. So you never know what you're going to get when you're doing these paranormal paracons with the investigations. It's always a good time. The one
that's the craziest to me is, which happens to me sometimes, is the touch one. Like when you touch an antique or something and you can see the flash of like something going on with that object.
Yeah, psychometry.
Yes, thank you. That is the name. Thank you. That just came to me. I was just thinking about that randomly.
Why?
But yeah, no, Paracon.
Did you touch something? You picked up on something?
I didn't touch anything. I didn't touch anything. I was just thinking about it randomly. I don't know why. I mean, I did touch my crystal ball technically, but maybe I was seeing something for the future. But I was just thinking about that. That's why I was thinking about that. There's a thought process in my head. You're talking about paranormal investigation. There is a abandoned mental hospital farm in Washington that Washington turned into a state park, and it is one of the most haunted, eerily beautiful places I've ever been. And it's in Cedro Woolley. It's the North State Park now, and it has an abandoned mental hospital in the park.
You're talking about the Northern State Insane Asylum, right?
Yes, Northern State Insane Asylum. Have you been there?
No, but I know about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is awesome. It's one of the most haunted places I've ever been. It's freaking gorgeous.
Yeah, don't they have like all the cow stalls and stuff still there and like the silo?
Yep. And there's
cool
little abandoned areas, like kitchen, and there's, which is interesting, there's also a lot of people go there to do rituals, and you'll find stuff like graffiti, and you'll find little altars and stuff like that, and that gives it a whole different power on top of the fact that it's already haunted.
Yeah, it's charging it up on all these random spots.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Makes it more fun house.
It is. It's a huge fun house.
Excellent. All right. So we only have a few more minutes left. An hour goes by pretty quick. Thank you for coming on the show and spending some time with us. What's that?
I said, that's why I paused, because I saw the time. I was like, oh, we're running.
Yeah, sorry about that. So for those
no,
who want to reach out to you, they can just go to your Instagram or your Facebook page?
TikTok or Facebook. Yeah, I'm easy to find. I whore myself out enough on social media. You can find me pretty easily.
Well, do you ever come back to Ventura?
Yeah, I actually have been really wanting to go back, hopefully the end of this year, just because I had the realization earlier this week that this will be the first time in my life, and I'm 36 years old, that I will have not stepped foot in Ventura for a year. Like, this is the first time in my life it'll be a year since, like, I've lived in Ventura, I've stepped foot in Ventura every year. Like, it's so weird to me to go a whole year without putting my foot in Ventura. So I'm thinking about flying out and going down to Ventura. So hopefully soon. I miss it. It's beautiful.
Yep, it's been nice out here. Well, cool. When you come out here, send me a message, and I'll take you on an investigation. I have the Ventura Theater, so it's always...
Dude, I would love to investigate the Ventura Theater. You know what's on my random high school teenage bucket list is to investigate the Ventura Theater?
Really? I do it weekly. I do it every day, so it's... pretty,
you're like,
pretty
it's so tough. Old now, whatever.
Well, I've been there since 93, and doing stuff, and then I was gone for a while, and I came back a few years ago to do some promoting and stuff with Loann, and I've been friends with her for a long time, so she knows I'm a spiritual guy into all this stuff, and I just take care of the spirits there. So since I've been back there, I just spend some of my time there getting to know the spirits and doing different stuff all the time, so they're super awesome. So that's why I'm saying, you know, whoever I take there, they're going to have an experience because the spirits know me, and the people I bring there are always really cool, so they kind of like interacting with them. I have a TV show on Paraflix, and my first episode was A Night at the Majestic Ventura Theater, which was great.
Oh,
great
dude,
filming.
That's so awesome. Dude, I freaking, the most spiritual, weirdest, creepy, haunting, energized time I ever had at the Ventura Theater, where I actually saw someone hanging from the pillars, was when Typo Negative played their last show at the Ventura Theater. I was backstage at that show, and the energy. And I knew Peter Steele was, you could just feel it. I had worked with him before, and you could just feel it. And the energy at that show, it was just, it was intense. It's weird how certain artists can go to the Ventura Theater and almost make it more haunted because of the energy they carry.
Yeah, exactly that. So it's in my filming there, I've learned that it was way more haunted than we ever expected it to be. So there's a lot going on there. So,
wow,
yeah.
I would love to. Yeah, I'll definitely hit you up because that sounds amazing.
Awesome. All right, so with that being said, we're going to have to wrap. Thank you so much, Brittany, for spending time with us. It's good to talk to you, and hope to get to investigate when you come back down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll hit you up for sure.
All righty.
And thanks for having me. And I had a blast. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So you guys out there listening, you've been listening to My Darkest Hour. We've been talking to Brittany Adams, who's a psychic medium, about her experiences and the things that she does. You can find her, of course, on Facebook and on Instagram and even on TikTok. Go check it out. Get a reading from her. She's very good. She's a natural at it. There's my warning. Check it out. She's a natural at it. She's pulling cards, reading cards. So that just makes the whole energy vibe much more intense. So check it out. Go check her out. And we will see you guys next time. Shout out to my sponsors, Chili Man Salsa, making that awesome paranormal salsa that we use. We eat out there on those shoots. Of course, P-Tech, Paranormal Technologies, for making all the equipment for investigations. Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations, keeping us warm in those nights we are walking through those abandoned asylums. Shout out to Daniel's Toy Empire, and also shout out to everybody at Live Paranormal, everybody at iHeartRadio, History FM, and of course everybody at Paraflix and Roku TV. If you haven't had a chance, make sure you go to Paraflix and Roku TV and watch my show, streaming season one right now. My Darkest Hour, Into the Further. So check it out, and we will see you guys next week. In the meantime, if you want to investigate, make sure you investigate safe. Bye now.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and
you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.